Yeah, I'm here. Welcome, y'all, to Reek Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Doing a nice end of the week broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ready to chop up that game as usual. So let everybody know that we're live right now. Right here on Tariq Radio. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. So y'all don't move a muscle. Y'all don't move one muscle. We're going to talk about something real heavy today. A lot of stuff we're going to touch on. And don't forget to check out HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. HiddenColorsFilm.com. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. So don't you move a muscle right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Have you ever wondered why some people who are not as qualified as you, not as smart as you, or as talented as you can achieve so much phenomenal success out here in the world? If you want to learn the secrets and be ready for a change in 2020, order the book How to Be Successful with or Without a College Degree by author Derek Collins. In this book, he's going to give you straight to the point, no-nonsense principles that will help you take your life to the next level. So go to successclass.org and purchase the book today. Remember, that's successclass.org. Check out the Hurricane Report. That's a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to the website at h-report.news. Subscribe to them and follow them on Instagram at H_REEEPOORT and at Twitter at TheHReport2, and you share the articles. You can purchase merchandise, donate, do a lot of stuff. So again, go to h-report.news. Listen up, family. On Code Clothing is officially the uniform of this Black empowerment movement. We've empowered so many for so long. Now it's time for us to make our empowerment the new global trend. On Code is a brand that's exclusive and it's not for general consumption, you dig? You got to be codified to even appreciate this thing of ours. So get fly with OnCodeClothing.com. And don't forget to use the coupon code HC5 at the checkout to save an additional 10% when you purchase two or more items. The discount is limited, so take advantage while it lasts. Go to OnCodeClothing.com. Check out the book Surviving the War and College Roommates by author Lawrence Robinson. This book is guaranteed to pique your interest as it covers an ADOS veteran's transition from the military and war back to civilian and college life. It's a very easy read and it's a comical book that you'll learn a lot of game from, and you'll learn how to maneuver through life and keep your game tight in this book. That's Surviving the War and College Roommates by author Lawrence Robinson, available on paperback on Amazon Kindle, and BarnesandNoble.com online.
In Washington, D.C., aliens descend upon the city and discover melanin.
This man feels great. This man's essence is incredible. Are all the males on this planet like this?
No, it seems to be only the men with dark and brown skin that have this.
Join us for the new drug you can find on YouTube at The Urban Gods, spelled with a Z, channel on YouTube, premiering October 24th.
Check out a brand new book called The Anatomy of a Corporate Lynching. This is by a brother named Charles Ford. And in this book, he takes us behind the scenes of his public copyright lawsuit against his employer, Con Edison. This book, he doesn't change any names to protect what he calls the guilty. He talks about how he stood his ground legally against theft and racial discrimination. So check out his book right now, The Anatomy of a Corporate Lynching. It's available worldwide on Amazon, paperback, and on Kindle right now. And find him at AuthorCharlesFord on Instagram.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
What's going on, family? We're here. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have y'all tuning in right here on Tariq Radio this week. We did the show later this week. So much stuff going on. But we're doing the show. We're here. We're here. We're live. Glad to have everybody here. Glad that everybody was patient. Just been getting a lot of stuff together because, you know, I'm going to be having foot surgery in a couple of weeks. So I just been getting a lot of stuff ready for that. You dig? So just getting all that together. Been filling out health forms and all that online. You know what's interesting? And I talked about this on Twitter. And by the way, before I do that, I hope everybody go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get the movie Hidden Colors 5. I know all of you have it, right? I know all of you guys have either bought the DVD or you have streamed Hidden Colors 5 from the website. And if you have not done that now, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. But I was filling out some health forms, you know, for the surgery. There's some stuff you got to fill out. And they were asking stuff like, what gender do you identify with? What gender were you born with? What's your sexual orientation? Is it lesbian? Are you bi? Are you straight, non-lesbian, non-gay? Don't know what your sexuality is? I mean, I'm like, damn, I'm trying to get foot surgery, not a damn pussy transplant. This thing is real heavy with the questions they have to put on these forms right now. Because like I've been telling people, they're trying to, this whole trans thing and all that, they're going to make that into a medical issue. That's going to be a medical issue, and they're creating a medical industry behind it. So it's going to be big money in that. So they're already getting people ready, and they're targeting us heavy with that. Especially black people. See, this is, they're going to kill many birds with one stone. GQ magazine just put out this issue talking about redefining masculinity, and they had Pharrell up there in a big ass, what looked like a big ass dress. This whole thing where they're targeting black people, talking about redefining masculinity. Notice they're not doing that to white children. They are not targeting white children. They're getting black kids, flipping things around, trying to destroy our masculinity. The fact that they're putting so many resources in attacking our masculinity shows that there is a nefarious agenda, and this is why we should fight this tooth and nail. This is why we're going to be doing buck breaking soon. This is why buck breaking is so important. We have to fight this thing tooth and nail, because sexual confusion and opening black children up to pedophilia, you know, that's going to lead to a whole bunch of shit. And that's why there's so many children now. They've done a study showing that there's a lot of black children from 5 to 12 committing suicide. So all this is, none of this stuff is a coincidence. None of this stuff is a coincidence. So this agenda is real heavy, of them trying to emasculate black men. This, the fact that they're putting so many resources in it. Black people, we want so many other things that we're being denied. We want reparations. We're being denied that. We have to fight for that, and we're still fighting. We want housing. There's so many homeless black people around the country. They're not giving us nothing on that. Black people need employment and businesses. We're not getting any resources for that. We need a proper education. We're not getting resources for that. But they're volunteering. Hey, look, y'all need to just be less masculine and prioritize trans people. And we'll put trillions of dollars in that. Right there should let you know something funny style is happening. This is not going to be something in our best interest. They're showing buck broken Negroes all over the place. And speaking of Moist, did you guys see the video clip? Jesse Lee Peterson was interviewing this dude. This dude is, he's on the internet. His name is Ghazi. He's an LGBT brother. Now, some of his stuff, he does some pro-black stuff, but then again, I've seen some stuff where he's throwing salt on ADOS, on some ADOS's trash. So this guy is, I don't know if I can really co-sign him, but he was going in on Jesse Lee Peterson, which was kind of funny. I mean, and he's flaming, by the way. This dude is flaming. But, you know, Jesse Lee gets people on the show, and, you know, Jesse Lee, you know, talks his bullshit. But this guy, listen to this.
With you.
You need to calm down.
I'm very calm.
No, you're not.
I'm very calm. I think you're not calm because I talked about your son not wanting anything to do with you.
Now, this is a man talking. He sounds like a woman, but this is a man.
I'm acting like somebody that if I had a child, they'd want my last name, unlike your child that doesn't want your last name. How does that feel? Is that why you attack African and colonized people? Is it because your mother and father didn't want anything to do with you and they left you with your mother in Alabama, a lynching state, while she went to Chicago and started another family and didn't want nothing to do with you until she found out she can get a welfare check on your ass, and that's what brought you back to Chicago.
So he's going in on Jesse, talking about Jesse's son. Jesse's son changed his name, and Jesse Lee's son, because I know Jesse Lee Peterson has a son, and the son doesn't want anything to do with Jesse. So the dude is bringing all types of receipts out on Jesse, and it's funny. Jesse's like, get him out of here. Get him out.
Y'all, it's kicking me out now. It's over. Peace out. So you can talk shit about black people, black men, black women, black trans people, and black queer people. But when it's time for me to say the things about you, the truth about you, let's talk about money laundering. Let's talk about you want to talk about people using financial aid, but you use grants. You use people's grants. Don't touch me. I'm right here. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. DP, are they going to touch me, DP? Are they going to touch me, DP? No. I'm going to let them have the mic. They call it the police now. You are so mad because your son does not want anything to do with you, unlike me.
Okay, that's enough.
So, you are mad at me because...
Okay. So it's hilarious. It's all over the place. So this dude, Ghazi, was on Jesse's show. And Jesse, they almost had to call the police on the dude. It was funny. The dude was talking about Jesse's parents didn't want nothing to do with him. And it was funny. It was funny. You know, Jesse deserved that because Jesse does a lot of slick stuff. He tries to troll people, and he got trolled this time. So, you know, he got ambushed. Not ambushed. He got ambushed. But anyway, I digress, ladies and gentlemen. You know, that Harriet movie is about to come out in a couple of weeks, and they're still trying to promote this thing. They got Cynthia Erivo. She's making the rounds complaining that she is hurt. Her feelings are hurt because of the backlash that she's getting from Foundation of Black Americans. Nobody's going to see the film, so they know this film is about to flop. So, you know, they're trying to conjure up some publicity for it, and they're trying to, you know, get some sympathy views for the movie. Nobody's going to see it because of Cynthia Erivo's very derogatory rhetoric towards foundational Black Americans, and her bestie, Lovey, you know, they like to spew venom about foundational Black Americans, and nobody's going to see this film. So she's running around talking about how hurt she is. Well, we heard about you and your friends running around with the Akata talk and all your little slick talk. We heard about that too. They're trying to shame people into going to see the movie. Let's just be real. The movie just, it doesn't really look interesting. She doesn't look interesting in it. We're looking at the trailer. She's, you know, her attitude towards foundational Black Americans aside, which is a major thing. You can't play a foundational Black American when you've shown vitriol towards foundational Black Americans. But just her performance, just her running around bucking her eyes and her forcing a slave accent. Eyes, Harriet Tubman. Eyes, Harriet Tubman. Oh, God, sound like John Lewis and shit. No, Cynthia, we're just not feeling you. And the thing is, with this movie, the most sensible person they could have got for this movie would have been Viola Davis. Viola Davis would have been perfect for this movie. In fact, Viola Davis had been vying for the role of Harriet Tubman. Viola Davis had, she wanted to play Harriet Tubman. And around 2015, there was some kind of project announced that Steven Spielberg was going to do a Harriet Tubman movie and have Viola Davis in the movie. So they were making announcements that it was going to be Viola Davis. Then all of a sudden, here this bullshit-ass movie comes. They're doing the same thing with Aretha Franklin. Remember, Aretha Franklin specifically said she wanted Jennifer Hudson to play her. So there was a big, major motion picture still in the works and in the talks about Aretha Franklin's life with Jennifer Hudson as the lead. And now they done ran and got Cynthia Erivo again, and they're going to do a TV movie of Aretha Franklin. So it seems like certain people in Hollywood, they get Cynthia Erivo to come in and just undermine foundational Black American women. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think that's a coincidence. See, they don't want that energy resonating with us. See, they want to make these movies for white people. They don't want to have that type of energy resonate with Black audiences because it might give us some ideas. I think that's very deliberate. I mean, it makes no sense not to have Viola Davis as Harriet Tubman. Not only Viola Davis has the phenotype and the look of Harriet Tubman, when you look at contrasting side-by-side pictures, they have basically the same stature. Viola Davis is a foundational Black American sister, so her Southern accent wouldn't be so forced as Cynthia Erivo's. Viola Davis, by the way, was born on a plantation in South Carolina. Her grandmother owned a farm on a plantation, so she was born on a plantation. So that this woman has the spirit of that. Viola Davis has the spirit, so it makes no sense to not have her as Harriet Tubman. So they do little stuff to undermine foundational Black Americans because these people are really trying to replace us with tethers. I cannot overstate that. See, they don't want these people channeling that energy. And then some people will say, well, there is Black American who play African too. Well, the thing is, they do that because these are movies for the American audience. These are movies that are financed by American film studios. So, of course, they're going to have a film with a box office draw that resonates with the American public if they're going to make money with the film. You understand? And that's why it makes no sense for them to not have Viola Davis. She's a named actress. People will go see her. So they make these little movies to make statements more than anything. They make these little movies to make statements. We gotta watch how they do. Because I saw something, a clip on Twitter of the actress from that Bob and Abishola show, and they were doing some kind of press run. They were at the National Organization of Black Journalists. This was in August. And she was talking about how certain black people felt disrespected and not valued. And then she said black Americans don't value immigrants or some shit to that nature. Let me play with, I'm like, what is she talking about? Hold on. See, people start talking real funny style. You know, people get very arrogant because we've been letting people walk all over us for so damn long. They start talking arrogantly. Now, this is, I don't know this woman's name, but she's the star of that Bob Loves, Bob Hart, Abisola. She's the leading lady in the movie, in the TV show. And this is her.
I've heard a lot of African Americans say that they feel like we don't value them. Yeah. And then I say, are you serious? You don't value us. You know?
Hold on. That right there rubbed me the wrong way. Say, we feel like we don't, African Americans feel like, I guess, African immigrants don't value us. And she said, well, black Americans don't value them. I'm like, okay. Well, number one, we don't owe you anything. I'm trying to understand what that, we help you get here. The hell are you talking about? You can't be, you wouldn't be over here if it wasn't for foundational black Americans helping you. So what are you talking about? See, this is the little shit that rubs me the wrong way. How do we don't value? First of all, we don't owe you anything. You're in America. We don't owe you anything. Let's get that straight. For some people say, well, black Americans don't value us. Value you for what? We don't owe you nothing. We don't owe you anything. But let me play the whole clip. People got shit real twisted, man.
I've heard a lot of African Americans say that they feel like we don't value them. Yeah. And then I say, are you serious? You don't value us. You know? So we're going to be diving into that. And what you should know is that you are African Americans are highly valued in Nigeria. If you don't believe me, come over. right? I see my Nigerian guy there.
She said African Americans are highly valued in Nigeria. But damn, y'all got that Akata word. Y'all throw that around real liberally. Okay. And that's Tichina Arnold. She's in the audience. She's looking real funny. Like, what are y'all talking about? She's looking real funny. But yeah, that whole narrative that we don't value you. That's interesting. We don't have to. We don't have to value anybody. We don't. Black Americans don't owe nobody nothing. We don't have to value shit. Nobody does anything for us. We don't have to value you, the white supremacists. We don't have to value Asian immigrants. Nobody does anything for us. Value you for what? Who do we have to value and value them for what? Nobody does anything for us. Especially immigrant groups. When y'all start talking about we don't value you, what are we supposed to value? Let's be real. These are real questions here. Because if we want to go real deep, whoever your name is, the Abisola lady, if we're going to get real, real deep about certain things, why should we, foundational black Americans, value people who, in many cases, come from lineages of people who sold us to the white supremacists anyway? Oh, shots fired. Shots fired. Let's be real. Not only shouldn't we value some of you, not all of you, some of y'all should be despised because some of you come from those lineages of people who rounded us up and gave us to the white supremacists. Some of y'all come from them same tribes that you value. See, a lot of these folks, some of these immigrant coons, and when I talk about certain immigrant coons, that's just who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the coons of those societies, and I broke this down not too long ago. A lot of them distance themselves from us because they still think that they're royalty. You have a lot of these Negroes coming from certain West African countries, not just Nigeria, but other ones, who they think that they're royalty. They come from these tribal lineages where there was a king of the village. So in their little feeble bullshit as mine, they think, well, I come from a royal family. Now, we powerless right now, but we're just going through a little temporary setback. So you think that you have some type of royal relationship with Britain and the other white supremacists, and you just got to get your weight back up. You dig? A lot of people think that. A lot of people, they have this elitist attitude. I mean, broke is a fucking joke. But in their minds, well, those Akatas are different from my long royal lineage. Now, I know I live in a one-bedroom shack with 20 niggas up in here. But, you know, the royal family, we're just going through things right now. We're going through a transition with the British crown. They have that type of mentality. So I'm different from the Akata. You understand? So when the white supremacists over here brings you along and say, hey, I'll let you help me undermine these other Negroes, you're like, oh, great, because we are royal family. I am different. And you don't know that the white supremacists are playing your ass too. You understand? It's a very interesting dynamic. But the thing is, a lot of people in the white supremacists are using folks to try to act as tethers for us. So, now, listen, for a long time, they've been doing this for a while. They've been doing this whole routine trying to replace foundational Black Americans. They've been doing this actually since the late 80s, early 90s. They've been doing this in all the way in the late 80s, going into the early 90s. They've been coming up with ways to try to get these tethers to replace us. Now, initially, they had a few hiccups doing this. They were doing this with the music industry. Now, if you look at the music industry now, it's completely, they've replaced Black American artists. Almost everybody in the top 20 who's Black, who does R&B and rap, almost everybody's a damn immigrant. Well, they come from an immigrant background. Almost everybody. But they were trying to do this in the early 90s. This is why, y'all remember, if you're old enough, y'all remember the Milli Vanillis? See, these guys just got caught because they didn't really have the talent yet. See, they had to cultivate the talent. See, they started letting a lot of immigrants over here also in the mid-80s, early 90s. A lot of them came over, so they had to learn the culture. But they had people like Milli Vanilli, who they would get Black Americans to go in the studio and sing and rap, and then they got these two Black German dudes to lip sync the words and put them out there and put a lot of money behind them. But then they got exposed. Yeah, Robin Fab. Also, they would get groups like CNC Music Factory, and they would get these African models to lip sync the words. This was real big in the early 90s, if you guys are old enough to remember. They would get these African models from England to lip sync the words of Black people singing. It was a Black woman named Martha Washington. She used to sing with Sylvester. She was in a group called the Weather Girls, phenomenal singer. And they would get her to do the studio vocals, and they would get these models from the UK. Black Box, that was the name of one of the groups. They would get her, these people, to lip sync her lyrics. There was another group called, I think, Technotronic. They had a song called Pump This Jam. Come on, pump it up. Pump. So they would get these models to lip sync the words. So they were trying it then. Because if you look at a lot of these folks from other places, they can't sing like foundational Black Americans. They can't sing like foundational Black Americans. And truth be told, many of them can't rap like foundational Black Americans either. Some can flow, but when you look at people like 21 Savage, you think, how did this nigga get a record deal? See, they're giving record deals to anybody. You don't even have to have talent. Now, when you look at certain people who can't rap and they have a record deal, I question what the motivation is. How'd this nigga get a record deal and he can't rap worth a damn? He can barely talk, and you're putting a lot of money behind this dude. There's an ulterior motive and agenda there. You dig? It's real heavy stuff here. So we got to understand how the game rolls. They've been trying to replace us. And the thing is with this Harriet movie, see, we're shutting that down on a grassroots level, and they don't like that. They don't like the fact that we're shutting stuff down on a grassroots level. You understand? And we got to keep up that heat. We're shutting things down, and we're putting out our own movies, like the Hidden Colors movie. See, they hate to acknowledge the success of Hidden Colors. They hate to acknowledge that this movie sits up there on the top five right along with theirs. The white media hates to admit that because they don't want to show us doing something without them. They don't want to show us succeeding without them. And right now with these Harriet movies, see, that they understand that there's money in Black movies right now. And what they're trying to do with the Harriet movie, they're trying to shame people by talking about, we need to go see that movie just like everybody went to see Black Panther. We all went to see Wakanda. We need to do the same for the Harriet movie. There was one article even trying to tie in the reparations conversation with the Harriet movie. They're desperate right now. They think they're slick. They tried to tie in, well, Black people are talking about reparations, and if you go see the Harriet movie, you'll understand why. Oh, no, you don't. Don't you dare try it. Nah, you're not. That's not going to work either. They're trying to finesse us into watching it. We're not falling for it. No. No, thank you. That guilt trip thing ain't going to work. You're not going to latch on to the grassroots movement to get people to go see that bullshit. No, it ain't happening. But they understand we've made Black films hot right now. So they don't want those movies to really resonate. So they want to get these tethers in there so that these movies can make money with white audiences. You understand? Because a lot of times, when these movies are directed towards Black audiences, just like they did in the 1970s, the Blaxploitation movies, what they did, they said, there's a lot of empty theaters out here. There's a lot of empty movie theaters out here in the United States because of white flight. These theaters are empty, so what they had to do, they start showing those karate movies and those Blaxploitation movies, and Black people flooded those theaters. Black people flooded the theaters, and you know, those movies weren't made for white people, so they could show over the top revenge killings, Black people beating up the police and all this stuff. They could show that because it was like, hey, white people ain't watching this, and Negroes like it. It makes a lot of money. It's get back time. So that's cool. Then it got a little scary. Then movies like The Spook Who Sat by the Door came out, and the FBI went around theaters all around the country taking it out. There was another movie, another Blaxploitation movie from 1970. It was a Blaxploitation movie from 1970, I think. What was the name of that movie? Hold on. What was the name of that movie? It was a movie. What the hell was that movie? Hold on, I'm going to get y'all the name of that movie because this is important. This movie, hold on. I'm going to find the name of this movie right now. And this came out in the 1970s. I think 1970 was the year. And it was a movie about a white cop who went to a black woman's house and raped the black woman when the black husband was there. What's the name of that movie? The Liberation of L.B. Jones. That's the name of the movie. And remember, in 1970, this is right, the Black Power movement is in full swing right now. Black folks weren't fucking around at this time. Yeah, it was the Liberation of L.B. Jones. So a white man goes and rapes a black woman, and black people, black audiences, they said, wait a minute. Y'all better get this movie out of the theater. This is some bullshit. We don't want to see this. They said, look, do y'all know black folks were bombing theaters around the country? They were putting bombs in movie theaters around the country, so they had to take the movie out. Black people said, hell no. But I think a theater up in the Bronx, they blew up the front row of the theater up there. Yeah, this was heavy. Black folks, remember, in the 70s, they weren't messing around at all. Because they didn't want to see that. They were like, nah, we ain't about to show that in no damn movie. Nah, that's not going to happen. And Yaphet Kotto, he was in the movie. So we black folks, we let it be known certain things weren't going to go down. But in the 70s, like I said, a lot of the movies were directed towards black people because the white movie industry, the movie industry was suffering at the time. And the blaxploitation movies, that kept everything afloat. This Eddie Murphy Dolemite movie that's going to be on Netflix, I can't wait to see that. I see the reviews are good. That will give you a good idea of the mentality and the time frame back then and the success of Dolemite. I can't wait to see that because I've been a big fan of Dolemite. I used to see all his movies when I was a kid. And those little cheaply made blaxploitation films, I mean, the theaters would always be packed to see them. So the white Hollywood system, the big studio system, they were putting out flops. The Willy Wonka movie, when it first came out, it was actually a flop. So the whites, there was independent studios and all, they were trying to get into the exploitation game of their own. So, at the time in the 70s, The Exorcist was big. That was a pretty big movie. So they had to capitalize on exploitive slasher type films. So that's when the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So the films had to be damn near pornographic and just real over the top. It had to be kind of sleazy. So the white independent studios, they were getting in on the game too. Yeah, Scarface was actually a flop when it came out. The movie Scarface didn't do well when it came out. Yeah, but Evil Dead and all those movies, those little cheap slasher films. And yeah, all of those little cheap. So Halloween was a little cheap film, but it actually made a lot of money, though. Yeah, I Spit on Your Grave. There was a lot of exploitive movies back in the 70s. Let me see how old some of y'all are. How many of you guys remember? There's one movie that used to scare the shit out of me as a child. How many of y'all remember the movie? By the way, everybody hit the thumbs up in here. Everybody hit the thumbs up button, guys. Before we forget, everybody hit the thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button right now. Hit that thumbs up button and then hit the subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit the thumbs up and hit the subscribe button right now while I remember. But like I said, one movie, I'm going to see how old some of y'all are. There was a movie, came out in 1974, but they would show it all through the 70s, even into the early 80s. They would show this movie in the little triple feature theaters. There was a horror movie called It's Alive. This movie, if you were a child, it would scare the living shit out of you. Do y'all remember It's Alive? I'm going to see the old heads up in here. How many of y'all remember It's Alive? Where y'all at? Where my old heads at in the chat room? Nigga. If you're a child, that would scare the hell out of you. If you're an adult, it's like, oh my God. This movie was insane. Nigga. This was a movie about a, this white woman had a baby. The baby was some kind of mutant. They never explained why the baby was fucked up like this. The baby was a mutant. The baby came out and killed the doctor and killed the nurses, and then the baby ran off. Oh my God. Everybody looking for the baby. The baby had a big ass head and some fangs. The baby ran off somewhere. They couldn't find the baby. Then the next day, the baby, it was a milkman. The baby killed a milkman and stole some milk. The police was looking for the baby. They shooting at this motherfucker. It was like, my God, they shooting at the baby. Nigga. The movie is called It's Alive. Nigga, this shit is so insane and cheap and over the top. But this was a popular movie, a little cheap ass movie from the 70s. Nigga. I think they had a sequel to it. Oh my God. Yeah, it had a big ass head with veins in his head. Oh my God. Now, as a child, I couldn't go to sleep after seeing some shit like that. But yeah, man, oh my God. If you were a child, something like that would scare the living shit out of you. It would scare the hell out of you. But just the fact they were making those types of movies, you know, those little cheap ass movies, you know, with babies with fangs back in the 70s, it was hilarious. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. What else is going on? You know, down there in Texas, a Tatiana Jefferson, the sister who was shot, there was a sister shot in her home by a race soldier. They arrested the race soldier, gave him a low bail. He's immediately out. This was down in Fort Worth, and they got Lee Merritt. Lee Merritt is representing the family, and you know that's a red flag. And the girl's father, Marquise Jefferson, he did an interview. He was saying, hey, look, my daughter, I love my daughter. It's my only daughter. And look, I ain't hugging folks. I ain't doing all that Botham John hugging stuff. You know, I want some justice. So this dad is really on code. The dad was really on code. Do y'all know Lee Merritt's ass? Lee Merritt got the family to do a press conference to basically throw the dad under the bus. Because this dad is, you know, he's on code, so Lee Merritt don't want to fuck up the bag. So he done got the family to sit up and say, well, he ain't really Tatiana's real father. He's not a biological father. You know, that's not a real dad. Her real dad is really a Nigerian dude who's over in Nigeria right now. So I don't know what the dynamics of that. But just the fact, listen, look, this is a press conference. Now, we're talking about getting some damn justice. I'm going to let y'all listen to this. And Lee Merritt, he hopped in my, we had a private conversation on Twitter. We in the DMs, because he's wondering why I'm on his neck so hard. And I told him, man, I ain't co-signing none of this shit you doing, brother. I asked him, and I'm not going to talk about our discussion, but he's like, why are you on my neck? Brother, the shit you doing, man. This right here, this is Lee Merritt sitting up here with the family, up here talking about the dad ain't the real dad. Listen to this bullshit.
Hello, everyone. My name is Vanita Body. I am Tatiana's aunt and Yolanda Carr's, Tay's mother, oldest sister. I'm speaking on her behalf today because she could not be here. As you have heard, her health is declining. And I've heard of the allegations of Mr. Marquise Jefferson, is what I want to address, claiming to be her biological father, which he is not, nor has he ever had legal custody of her. We have not, as a family, heard from Mr. Jefferson. And if he cares to reach out to us, we would be more than happy to address his concerns. And I want you to know that the GoFundMe page that is family approved to Tay's legal family. And I thank everyone for their outreach, for their giving, and for the love.
Oh, Lord, dude, they have been doing press conferences about the bag. They up here talking about the damn GoFundMe page. We up here trying to see what's going to happen to this race soldier. They up here having press conferences about where the damn money is going to go. And Lee Merritt is sitting right up here. And then he wonders why I'm on his neck. Come on, man. What is this bullshit? Who cares? We're trying to get this race soldier locked up. Man, come on. And Lee has really disappointed me. Lee has really, really disappointed me. And then I saw someone, Lee, he's up there with a couple of, with Tatiana's sisters, and they all hugging Beto O'Rourke. They all hugging up on him. When Lee Merritt is standing there, oh my God, dude. Dude, Lee Merritt, bruh. You have played your card. You let us know exactly where you coming from, bro. And I'm going to stay on you when you keep doing stuff like this. Your neck will be stayed on. You're not getting a pass for this type of stuff, bruh. This ain't a good look at all. It don't matter, because the dad, and he must have some type of close relationship with Tatiana. She has his last name. So from what I understand, it sounds like she changed her name to his last name because he helped raise her, I think. So there has to be some kind of affinity there. It's not like he's just some random nigga making some random claim. But this dad, he's on code. So they don't want this dad to mess up the bag. Because the dad was like, look, I'll pay for the funeral. Shit. You know, I want justice. I ain't trying to hug nobody and I'll pay for the funeral. And, oh, no, this nigga. Nah, he's messing the bag up. So we're going to stay on people's necks. If you're off code, we're going to stay on your neck. That's just what it is. So anyway, let's get to the main topic of what we're talking about. We're talking about Mejorar La Raza. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right. My Spanish isn't that good. Mejorar La Raza. All my people who can speak Spanish. Now, you know, Mejorar La Raza, that means in Spanish, that's a term in Latin American countries that's very popular. It's called improve the race. Somebody said close enough. Shout out to my Dominicans in the room. But that's a term that's extremely popular in Spanish culture or Latin American culture. It means improve the race. And as you see the image of a Latina girl who has curly hair and she's straightening her hair on one side. So this improve the race mentality, it's a very prevalent mentality. It's a very prevalent mentality. And not just, you know, in certain biracial cultures here in America, that's a very prevalent thing. You know, that mentality is prevalent in different cultures, more so in Latino culture. And I'll get on that in a second. But in a lot of American culture, especially biracial people, people who were raised by bedwenches, you know, they have the same mentality. And then they get a rude awakening and, you know, they have little nervous breakdowns. You know, a lot of people who come from biracial backgrounds who don't acknowledge that they're actually black, you know, they go through a lot of shit. They're the tragic mulattoes. Just like Meghan Markle. As a matter of fact, Meghan Markle, she's been trending today. They've been trending a hashtag called We Love You, Meghan. Because Meghan did an interview where she's about to have a damn nervous breakdown. I want to play a clip of Meghan Markle talking about how I'm not okay. And she's not saying what the real deal is. See, she's being attacked nonstop for being a non-white person. But she's not saying that. And other people are not saying it. See, people are playing this game with it. Listen to this. They did an interview with her. and she's just looking like she's broken. She's talking about all the stress of having a baby and all this stuff. She's dancing around the racial issue where she's being attacked because of race. She doesn't want to admit it, but listen to this.
He's obviously very concerned about protecting you and protecting you from what he felt his mother went through. It's obviously an area one has to tiptoe into very gently, but I don't know what the impact on your physical and mental health of all the pressure that you clearly feel under.
I would say, look, any woman, when they're, especially when they're pregnant, you're really vulnerable. And
this is what I do. I'm not feeling this. She's trying to blame her breaking down on her pregnancy and all that. See, people try to dance around things, but she might as well own up to some shit.
And so that was made really challenging. And then when you have a newborn,
it's a long time ago, but I remember.
And especially as a woman, it's a lot. So you add this on top of just trying to be a new mom or trying to be a newlywed. And also thank you for asking, because not many people have asked if I'm okay, but it's a very real thing to be going through behind the scenes.
And the answer is, would it be fair to say not really okay, as in it's really been a struggle?
Yes.
Okay, so they're like, we love you, Megan. I'm not going to give Megan no sympathy. I'm sorry. I'm not even trying to be cruel. No, I'm not giving you no sympathy. I am not giving you no sympathy. See, you are in a system of white supremacy. You don't want to acknowledge your blackness. And I'm not going to fight for you for some shit you won't acknowledge. You don't even want to say what the real deal is. See, the thing is, a lot of these people want other folks to go out here and fight for them while they sit in the back and play the background and kind of talk real vague and talk in code and everything is assumed. Yeah, I'm going through some things. I'm being attacked because of issues, but you won't say what it is. So if you ain't going to say it, I ain't going to say it. I know what it is, and I'm not coming to your defense. You've married into a colonizer family. And then you wonder why. I can imagine behind the scenes how she's treated. Because, see, Britain over there in Britain in the UK, they try to act like they're just so refined and above racism. Oh, please. They practice vile, vile, vile white supremacy over there and within that family. So her being behind closed doors, she sees how these white supremacists are for real. That's why I talked about during slavery, the people who would run away would be the house, female house servants. The main ones running the hell away were the house servants, the women who worked in the houses, because they saw how demonic these bastards were up close. They were like, oh my God, I got to get the hell out of here. I'll risk death getting away from these people. So she gets to see all the little demonic shit that goes on behind the scenes. All the little rituals that go on behind the scenes. Come on. Could you imagine what's going on behind the scenes? This woman looks broken. But no, hold your own tits. Oh, don't let the UK fool you. They try to act like they're just so refined and above racism. Remember, this is the country that banned my ass from coming over there to show a movie about racism. They banned the movie and won't let me come over. So that's how they feel. You understand? I'm one of the 6 black Americans who are I'm banned from going to the country. I'm banned from, I don't even have a criminal situation. They banned me for having a movie. You understand? So people, even the people who are supposed to be supporting her, they're not even being honest. They're like, yeah, we know how being a mother can be stressful. It ain't about being no damn mother. That woman is dealing with racism in the British press, but doesn't want to own up to it. Now, you better call that shit out. Own up to it and call it out. That she's scared. Because I know they've been threatening her. Oh, my God. And she knows that she can get God and she can end up like Princess Diana. If they can get Princess Diana, she knows they can get her. You understand? So she's probably been threatened. I mean, this woman has probably seen some crazy shit. And probably in there doing all types of Satanism and no telling what those folks are doing in that damn royal family. But I digress. But like I'm saying, going back to Mejorar la Raza, like I said, that term is very common in Latino culture. And a lot of black people get confused by this. Now, Hispanic people know exactly what I'm talking about. Hispanic people know what I'm talking about. But this Gina Rodriguez guy, that's her name. She's an actress, and she's been caught multiple times or been exposed multiple times for saying little slick stuff. She's always trying to creep in the word nigga, trying to be hip and cute with it. There's several videos of her doing that, just making little slick comments. And she's a Latina. And what's interesting is that, hold on one second, guys, there's a goddamn spider creeping down slow. Hold on, there's a spider creeping down slow, and I'm trying to get his ass. I gotta clean the cobwebs in this goddamn office. Sorry about that, guys. Look like there's a spider just hanging over me listening to the broadcast. But but yeah, the Gina Rodriguez chick, a lot of people try to find little slick ways to say nigga. They'll try to rap it, and she filmed herself rapping that particular part just so she could be slick. She's just trying to be slick. She's trying to flex some wannabe supremacy. And she apologized. And what's interesting, a lot of Negroes, or a couple of Negroes, pulled out the cape for her. A lot of Negroes have pulled out the cape for her. That one dude from Boys to Men. Which one? Which guy is this? And let me play the clip of Gina. The clip that got her in the hot seat with a lot of people. She was rapping this song. This is the song she was rapping. Hold on. This is her.
Voodoo. I could do what you do. Believe me. Niggas give me heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, so she's like, nigga, give me heebie-jeebies. And laughing, and she's getting her makeup done. And this is her taco slayer.
And apologize. Hey, what's up, everybody? I just wanted to reach out and apologize. I am sorry. I am sorry if I offended anyone by singing along to the Fugees, to a song I love that I grew up on. I love Lauryn Hill.
Shut up.
I really am sorry if I offended you.
Oh, shit. Hey. Ass. Shut up. Lord. That fake ass apology. She knew what she was doing. She was trying to be slick. She thought she was going to be cute. And people called. And she's done this before. I mean, she's done this before. They've called her out before, and she does the fake apology. She was on Sway. She said nigga another time, and she was on Sway. On Sway in the Morning, and she was apologizing on that. What's this, about a year or so ago? And let me play a clip of that real quick. Hold on.
I was seen. So, to get anti-black is saying that I'm anti-family.
Many months later.
Okay. And that's another con game. When a lot of these Latinas get called out for doing some little slick anti-black shit, they always fall back. I got black family. My grandma, my mama. My mama and papa. Grandpapa is negra. I'm not racist. I have family. My nana. It's black. Oh, shut up. And some of y'all coon Negroes, some of y'all ass-looking ass Negroes, that dude from Boys to Men, he's up here talking about she can say nigga because she got black in her. Where is his clip? I want to find the actual clip of him saying that. Hold on one second. I want to find the clip of him saying that. Where's that clip? Come on. Where's that clip? Hold on. Okay, Sean Stockman. Okay, let me play the clip of him saying that. Y'all bear with me one second. He's like, this is him. Sean Stockman from Boys to Men. All right, come on, load up our thing. Come on, it's taking a minute to load up. And he said, Latinas are black. Ah, come on, thing. I'm trying to get this thing to load up. And it's not loading up like I want it to. Come on, thing, hold on. Because I want to hear this nigga. I want to get him saying this. Hold on, let me do this. Hold on one second. No, it's not good. Y'all bear with me, and y'all go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. While I'm trying to get this together. Hold on one second. HiddenColorsFilm.com. If you want to see Hidden Colors 5. Okay, where is this? Sean Stockman. I'm looking it up. Hold on. Because I went to the TMZ website and the shit just froze up on me. Okay, I think this is it right here. Okay, here it is.
So Gina Rodriguez is in some hot water, singing along to the Fugees' classic song, and sings the N-word along with the song. Uh-huh. People are upset. She's apologizing. Should she get a break?
Well, or, you know, here's my thing. Like, well, she was singing the song, and if you're going to sing a song, make sure that you censor yourself. We can all censor ourselves as we're singing.
We do it all the time.
But as far as I'm concerned, she's Latina, right?
Yeah.
Latina, black. Like a lot of people don't acknowledge that. Yeah, she's black. This girl, okay. she's from Puerto Rico. Like Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Dominicans, Mexicans, believe it or not, we all here. Like, so, just look at the history.
So do you
No, nigga. No. We're not all here.
Do we give her a pass and
yes.
some forgiveness?
Yes.
Yes. Easy. Yeah. Wow.
She's cool. She's Latina. She's Latino. Latin people, if you go to Puerto Rico right now, there are people that are dis my shade right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right now.
Yeah.
So, let's, the young lady, she's in love with hip-hop. More with the afro.
Okay.
Listen, my young folks listening, don't let niggas like this trick y'all. Genetically, yes, all Latinos, especially here in the Western Hemisphere, damn near all of them, some of them, well, in Argentina, they imported some Europeans down there later on. But for the most part, in most of the Latin countries, most of the people have black genetics in them. But culturally, they do not look at themselves as black. As a matter of fact, they go out of their way to deny it and only bring it up when it's convenient. That's why they have the Mejor La Raza. That's why they have that saying down there. They know about the Moorish bloodline they have. They don't like claiming it. The name of the game is to get that Moorish bloodline out of them. Improve the race. That means date and breed white. That's what mejorar la raza means. Breed white. Whiten up the race. That's what they mean by improving. White is right. That's what they mean by that. They know about their grandmama. They know they don't like talking about her. We better get off that. Well, they got black. They black. No. You're stating the obvious. I know I pronounced the term fucked up. I'm not Spanish. I'm a foundational black American. Yeah, I know I'm probably saying it fucked up. It ain't my job to say it right. Now, if I want a chimichanga, I know how to pronounce that when I go to Taco Bell, goddammit. But I know how to say quesadilla when I go to Del Taco, so shit, that's all I need to know. But like I said, genetically, there most of them have an African, Black, Moorish bloodline. They do. They have it, and they know that. But like Gina does, they only bring it up when it's convenient. The minute they get in hot water, my nana Africana, they would remember when they were doing the same thing with George Zimmerman. They were like, well, George Zimmerman can't be a white supremacist. His great-grandmother is Black. They start talking about some great-grandmama he had. This dude is a full-time white supremacist. Mehorar. Okay. I tried to put a little stank on it. Mehorar. I tried to sound like my gardener. Mehorar. But that whole mentality, we got to understand this. I've talked about this before in my Inquisition show, talking about Moorish Spain, where the Christianized whites, they made a whole movement of trying to wash out the Moorish bloodline. All the racial purity thing, the blood purity, a lot of that came out of Spain, getting that Moorish bloodline out. And that they have that same mentality over here. They try to get that Black bloodline out. That's why Black people in these Spanish-speaking countries are treated horribly. Yeah, all of them got a Black great-grandmama somewhere, of course. They don't have no respect for her like that. They try to deny her, and this is why they try to talk like little white supremacists, and they try to play this little three-card Monte game where they're white one day, a person of color the next day. Then some of them try to even play the native role. I'm a native, I'm an Aztec. You know, they try to play that role. But don't you fall for it. Understand, culturally, they don't look at themselves as us. There was another lady who was a Hispanic so-called civil rights worker. She just got fired because she was in a bar talking crazy to a Black bartender. This was in the news, talking about how she hates Black people and all this. And this is supposed to be a Hispanic female civil rights worker. She got drunk and started telling the truth about how she really felt about Black people. We better get off this bullshit about it. They got a great grandmama who Black. They Black just like us. Puerto Rican, Dominican, they just like us. No, they ain't. That's that wannabe Black-Brown coalition. Ain't no goddamn Black-Brown coalition. Please get that out of your brain. Just because somebody's dark and they talking about they're a person of color, that doesn't mean that they're not anti-Black. See, we got to get off that person of color, minority stuff. Who's anti-Black and who's not? And a lot of these people come from anti-Black cultures, and part of their culture is mejorar la raza. They're trying to improve the race. They do this in Mexican culture, Puerto Rican culture, Cuban culture. This is a very popular saying in those cultures. That's a dirty little secret of them trying to so-called improve the race. And you're not really improving anything. Let me tell you something, Hispanic people, Latino people, whoever you are, especially these Latina chicks, the only shit that's fly about you is the Black shit. When you look at yourself, the shit that's really fly about you is all the Black stuff. If you got tan skin, that's the Black part of you. It ain't from the European part. If you got nice lips, well, that's the Black part from you. If you got a nice ass, well, where'd you think you get that from? Where'd you get that from? That comes from the Black side of the family. You dig? All the fly shit you get it from us. Hell, even the food, shit. Look at certain Cuban dishes and Puerto Rican dishes and all that stuff. Those good spices and all, it didn't come from Spain. And all the shit that came from Spain came from the Moors anyway. But when they got the Moors out, they tried to change up the cuisine a little bit. And the food in Spain is horrible. I've been all over Spain. Food in Spain is horrible. your dancing and the drums and those guitar, where do you think that came from? That came from the black part of the family. When y'all down there in Brazil doing capoeira and all that shit, where y'all think that came from? Those drums, and that came from the African side of your family. Plantains are African. Dude, yes. Come on. The tangos, black folks created the damn tango. Y'all better look up some of this history. The tango dancing, that's black people created that. All those carnivals y'all having, that's the black side of the family. All the fly shit about you comes from the black side of the family. What the hell are you improving? What are you improving? Let's just be real. If you mean whiten up, that's what you're trying to say. You just say it. You just want to whiten it up. Anything? You just want to put a little mayonnaise on everything. You dig? But don't let these folks fool you. There's no black-brown coalition. These folks come from these cultures where they might be dark like us, but in their mind, I got to improve the race like my family says. I got to mejorar la raza. I got to improve the race, meaning whiten everything up. And that's the sad, insidious part of being in a system of white supremacy. It's a system that shouldn't exist. It's a system that shouldn't exist. And we know, see, this foundation of black Americans, we're the only people who are consistently fighting white supremacy. People in Latino culture, they don't really fight white supremacy. And I've always said this. When you look at all of these Spanish-speaking countries, all of them had to come to us to fight colonizers for them. A lot of those Spanish-speaking countries had to go to Dessalines and Toussaint, the Haitians, to help them fight off the colonizers. In Mexico's black folks fighting off the colonizers. In Brazil, it was the black people fighting off the Portuguese. It's always us. In Cuba, you had some of those black folks down in Cuba fighting off the colonizers. Going to the Philippines, because remember, Spain occupied the Philippines. It was black folks over there fighting off Spain and the United States, trying to fight them off. It was black people doing that. You understand? And we think that there's some kind of camaraderie because we see that they're being oppressed too. We see that they're being oppressed. We see how their countries are devastated and how raggedy they live. And we're like, well, damn, we'll all join together and fight oppression together. And you up here looking at the white supremacists and thinking, okay, we got to replace the white supremacists with some justice. And they're looking at the white supremacists like, ay, papi, mejora la raza with papi. They want to lay up with papi and zaddy. We ain't got no allies. Let's get off this ally thing. We ain't got no goddamn allies. Let's stop. We don't need none. We got enough black folks to be where we need to be. We don't have no allies. Foundational Black Americans, this is why we are looking out for our group. Because we're the only ones who've been thorough and consistent, and that's all we need. That's really all we need. We don't need all these other folks coming in who ain't gonna do shit anyway. They don't do shit and then sit around talking about how come we don't value them. What, value you for not doing shit? What am I valuing? What the hell am I supposed to value? We got people who are so arrogant with their benign neglect. It's becoming ridiculous at this point. So remember, you can always G-check the Gina Rodriguez's and all these people. You can check them. You don't owe her nothing. We don't owe them nothing. You can check them and tell them to get the hell out your face. Now, I know some niggas don't want to mess up some exotic sex because, you know, that's deep down what they want. They don't want to mess that up. But you don't have to be a coon for exotic sex, nigga. If you want exotic sex so bad, just get your sister with a silky weave. But just don't be a coon all your life, nigga. You understand? Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Don't forget to go to Hidden hiddencolorsfilm.com to get Hidden Colors 5, and you could stream that now. And speaking of Haiti and all that, y'all need to get 1804. Y'all can stream that. That's available for stream on hiddencolorsfilm.com, or you can go to 1804movie.com. And don't forget to get your foundational Black American t-shirts at hiddencolorsfilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I'm out. I will holler at you guys this Sunday.